You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Joins us, LT, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm not on the road, but there's going to be... This is... The problem with the Rough Riders is there were expectations this year. So a certain member of my family is pretty... there's anticipation and there's anger in the home tonight, I'll put it that way.
Ooh, frustration, eh? Frustration. Is she mad at Cody Fajardo?
Yeah, not pleased. And also the offensive line has been irritating her pretty bad, so... You know, Rough Rider fans, what are you going to do?
It is frustrating. We got to go back to bring back Dave Ridgway. That's what we need, the place kicker. Bring him back. He can play again. You know, you look at the news today, yesterday about Elks and Cornelius. Are you comfortable with the idea of bringing back Cornelius? It seems like it's he and Ford, unless something dramatically changes, the two quarterbacks for next year. Grow with the team, or is that make you nervous?
Well, I like Chris Jones, and I like his certainty and his clarity. And if he likes him, then that's great. The only thing I'll say about Cornelius this year is that he's a better runner under duress than I thought he was. And I think that it's difficult when there's so many changes, including the offensive line, to really get an idea about a quarterback. But, Matthew Iwanek, who's on the Low Tide and Jameson show, even though there's no microphone in the room, he still finds a way to get on the air. He made a great point about, he throws the ball well. Often he'll have great completion rates, but there seems to be at least one glaring error a game. And if he can cut down on that, then that might be something that you can move forward with. But I'll be honest, I was surprised at the 2-year contract. Because I thought they might want to see Trey Ford a little bit. It sounds like, based on what we're hearing, Cornelius is the starter and may even go into next year. Of course, in football, everything changes 5 minutes later. But it seems like he's going to be here for a time.
Yeah, I think Trey Ford just hasn't played very many games yet, right? I really think it's going to be a combination of the two of them moving forward. You know, Trey Ford coming off the 6th game. If the game goes how we think it'll be, he'll probably get some mop-up duty tonight. We'll see. But I think, honestly, the plan is for Ford and like the two young quarterbacks to kind of compete moving forward.
It makes sense. They've got their running back now. They've got their fullback. They've got Lawler and Mitchell as receivers for next year. They're working on the line, obviously. They've made a trade. They're setting that up. So... I think they're working on having more of a set team than they did. Remember, Jones didn't come in until late. I think it was January. So they were on the fly a little bit. And this season. It's not like they're, I think they can get eliminated if they lose tonight. So it's not like they're going anywhere. So might as well make sure that this disaster of a year doesn't happen again.
The laundry list is getting shorter. You mentioned Mitchell and Brown. Those two guys look like pretty dynamic, young CFL players. I think that's kind of exciting. The problem is there's other holes to fill on both sides of the ball. And what was it? I forget. It was Greg's tweeted out or someone. There's two players for Labor Day rematch from last year. Yeah. I mean, that's not just turnover. That's just wiping the start new. It's an expansion team, basically, though, Tide.
What really the biggest surprise for me, and I don't like – this is just an observation. I don't have any advice and I don't have any specifics, but I know Jones from watching him over the years. He loves defensive playmakers, and his defenses are ball hawks and aggressive. And I know he's got aggressive players, but they haven't been effective. And I just wonder if they need more of a base of actual football players. And it's great to have a rush ends and but you need the linebacking core to do their job, and they do seem to be a little exposed in the secondary. So I imagine they've obviously made some trades and they're addressing that, but that's going to be an area too. I think Jones' defensive side has been a real surprise, just because it's been inconsistent, and that's sort of his calling card.
Yeah, it hasn't been very good at all. Al Mitchell joins us. LT, the Eagles, speaking of a young quarterback who's pretty exciting, A.J. Brown comes in and he's great in his first game. What did you make of the Eagles, and what are you looking forward to this weekend as they take on the Vikes?
Well, Brown, whatever they gave up, and I don't even remember, it wasn't half enough. What a difference he makes. And the difference in the game, Brown was a big difference, but Hurts being able to run, but the things that they normally did, which is like every three passes goes to a tight end, you know, they weren't as predictable as they had been in the past. And part of that is Hurts, you know, another years of experience, but they've really done a lot. I think they drafted well, I believe. The defensive coach didn't use any of his new draft picks, but the Brown acquisition gives them all kinds of elements, and they've got some areas that they didn't use Smith very much, so they've got some areas to grow. But in that first game, the most impressive player for me was Hurts, because he moved the ball well, but he ran when he had to, and he was effective doing it. So it seems like, you know, this division, if Dallas is you know, without a quarterback for a while and they're 0-1, maybe if they get off to a good start, they can make a run at it. I don't think they'll win the division, but it's a nice start so far.
It's funny you talked about the division, but didn't talk about the team that's also tied for first, in that division.
Washington?
No. They still have a team. You know, the Giants, this is their next three games. Panthers, Cowboys, and then Bears, Packers. Come on.
Okay, just wait a sec, Struds. So are you gonna Victor Kui it here right now? Are you saying they're going 3-0? What are you doing?
I might go 4-0, buddy.
4-0. All right.
No.
Okay,
I'm just
Struds
kidding.
And Vic.
No,
all right.
You know what? We could be I can't believe I'm using the we, but here we go. We could be 2-2 after the fourth week, buddy. You don't think they can beat the Panthers, Cowboys, or Bears, one of them?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I just hope that Danny Dimes is worth the monument you clearly have in the backyard for the guy already. But hey, you know, they won, and you know, they pretended not to be shocked in the post game. So, yeah, you've got a lot going on for you. And, you know, the only problem for the Giants is there's 16 games left.
All right, let's talk about a game driven by low tide. How about the Sunday night game, the Bears and the Packers? The Bears get by the 49ers, you know, on pretty much it looked like a slip and slide down there at Soldier Field. And then Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he doesn't look thrilled about who he's passing the ball to these days. I think this is a pretty interesting Sunday night matchup.
It is, and I'll never feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers, because you know he's got a lot going since getting passed over a few times in the draft. Things gone pretty well for him, but you know, they don't look like the Packers to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll recover. But he throws a bomb to a kid, and the guy doesn't catch it, and they don't have a lot around him, and they looked really unprepared. And we talked earlier in the week on the show about, you know, preseason games, and maybe some of these teams aren't doing enough, but the Packers have got to look a lot better than they did in week one for anybody to believe in them, and that does include Rodgers. You know, he handed the ball off 20 times, which looked ridiculous, and then, you know, he got hit a lot, and you don't want that. I mean, he's not young anymore. He's not Tom Brady old, but he's not young, and you know, they need to protect their quarterback, because without him, they're not going anywhere.
Al, quickly, we'll get to the Oiler rookies. When you look at the rookie lineup tonight, in the next 3 years, how many players in the rookie lineup do you think will be regulars in the Oilers lineup?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll say Broberg, Holloway, Borgo, and I'm not going to lie, I like Petrov and Tulio and Savoy, but I'm not savvy enough as you know, watching hockey players to know if they're going to get there. But I think Borgo has great hands. Holloway, we've seen him with great speed, and Broberg is extremely mobile. Now, there's things to learn, and defense is hard, but I think those three guys, and then maybe a fourth is a kicker. I just don't know who it is.
Well, it's none of them will be given spots. I would agree with you on those three. After that, you know what? I think you'll see the owners might start moving some of their the odd young guy, right?
Well, I think at the deadline that's possible, right? You know, if they don't want to move picks, they might use a kid or trade a player, a prospect for a rental. That's possible.
Oh, yeah. 100%. LT, have yourself a glorious weekend.
You guys enjoy this beautiful weather. I can't believe we're, you know, September 16th, and it's this nice. It's gorgeous.
No, it's unreal. Enjoy the drive to Maidstone.